Okay, let's get into this. We're doing a deep dive today into something, well, frankly, horrifying in business aviation. It's this pattern of fatal accidents, recurring ones, always involving post-maintenance stall testing and Hawker business jets. You shared the sources on the first crash, Utah, in 2024. But the really chilling thing, before that investigation even wrapped up, boom, October 2025, Michigan. Same jet type, same test phase, another crew lost. It's just awful.
It really is, and that's the core of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Our mission here is to show you these weren't just, you know, random tragedies. Bad luck, no. The sources point to predictable systemic failures. We've kind of boiled it down to three main areas. Mm-hmm. First, you've got these sort of permissive regulations. Then some really challenging aerodynamics with the aircraft itself. And finally, this huge lethal gap between a pilot rating and actual qualification for these specific flights.
Let's start with the rules, because that's where the setup really begins. There's this FAA regulation, 14 CFR 91.407. It covers these operational check flights after maintenance. And it requires an appropriately rated pilot. Sounds reasonable, right?
It seems okay on the surface, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Appropriately rated.
But here's the loophole. In practice, appropriately rated just means having the standard ATP certificate and the basic Hawker type rating, like any line pilot.
Wait, so the rule doesn't distinguish between a regular pilot flying passengers day to day and someone doing essentially experimental test flying after major work?
Exactly, no distinction. And that feeds straight into the economic pressure. You've got this massive, like, $90 billion MRO market maintenance, repair, overhaul costs is everything. So there's this huge incentive to use a standard line pilot who's much cheaper instead of hiring a specialized professional test crew. They're very expensive.
Ah, okay. So it creates this cottage industry for high-risk flights using pilots who aren't really equipped for them.
Precisely. It leads to what some call the normalization of deviance. The risk is known, but it becomes accepted because, well, everyone does it to save money. Safety takes a back seat.
Right. Cost cutting wins out.
Okay,
so that's the economic trap. Now, what happens when this, let's call it underqualified pilot, gets into that specific Hawker jet?
That's where the physics bite back hard. The Hawker 800, the 900 series, they have this swept wing, high T-tail design.
Yeah.
And because of that geometry, when the wing starts to stall, the disturbed air, the turbulence that normally shakes the tail on other planes, it completely misses the tail on the Hawker. It flows right over it.
So no natural warning, no physical buffet, no shaking the pilot feels through the controls.
None. Zero natural aerodynamic warning. The plane relies entirely on an artificial system. A stick shader to vibrate the controls as a warning, and then a stick pusher to automatically shove the nose down and recover.
Okay, I think I see where this is going. This sounds like the test flight paradox you mentioned.
Exactly that. The whole point of this specific flight is often to verify that the artificial stall warning system, the shaker and pusher, is working correctly after maintenance.
Right.
But what if the maintenance, maybe even slightly, compromised the sensor feeding that system, or the system itself?
Then the crew has nothing. No natural warning. And the artificial one they're relying on, the one they're testing, is also out.
Bingo. They can fly right into an unannounced, sudden deep stall. And in a deep stall, particularly with that T-tail, the elevator controls can become completely ineffective, blanked out by the wing's wake.
Wow. Okay, that's terrifying. And this is where the pilot qualification gap becomes absolutely critical, lethal even.
It really is, because standard pilot training for stall recovery,
right.
I mean, what does the basic CFI endorsement cover?
Usually stalls in, like little Cessna 152, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slow, light piston aircraft, relatively gentle.
Right. A few $100, maybe an hour or two of flight time. Compare that to the actual gold standard for test pilots. We're taking a year-long, highly academic, incredibly rigorous program. Costs over $1 million per pilot. It's run by places like Edwards Air Force Base or Patuxent River.
$1 million versus a few hundred. That's quite a difference.
And that intense training is specifically designed to overcome the human factor that often kills crews in these situations, the startle effect.
That sudden, overwhelming shock. The cognitive paralysis when the plane does something violent and unexpected.
Yes. When the aircraft departs controlled flight unexpectedly, especially violently, the untrained reflex, it's often wrong.
The sources mention using ailerons, right? Trying to pick up a drop wing during the stall with the yoke.
Yeah, that's a common, almost instinctive mistake for pilots trained in standard category planes. But in a swept wing jet deep into a stall, aileron input can actually make things worse. It can aggravate the stall, even provoke a spin.
Instead of using rudder, which is often the correct input in that flight regime.
Correct. TESP pilot training drills that counterintuitive response. It prepares them mentally and physically for extreme G-loads, for violent departures. Standard training doesn't.
Which brings us back to that awful timeline. The Utah crash happens. Then Michigan, same scenario, before the NTSB even issues its final report on Utah. How does that happen? Why wasn't something done faster?
It boils down to regulatory lag. The NTSB investigation process is incredibly thorough, which is good, but it's also slow. It typically takes 12, maybe 24 months, sometimes longer, to go from accident to final report with safety recommendations.
So for potentially 2 years, a known deadly risk is just allowed to continue.
Yeah.
Because the official wheels turn slowly.
But unfortunately, yes. The system identified the risk, but the formal process hadn't concluded, so the hazard persisted in the operational environment.
Okay, so how do we actually fix this? What's the path forward, according to the sources?
The blueprint seems pretty clear. First, regulators, the FAA, need to step up. They need to initiate rulemaking for a specific high-risk maintenance flight endorsement. This wouldn't just be a paperwork exercise. It needs mandatory, specialized training. Crucially, UPRT upset prevention and recovery training in simulators or appropriately certified aircraft that can replicate these high G departures.
So actual training for the real danger.
Exactly. And second, the manufacturer, Textron in this case, needs to be much more explicit. They should issue mandatory warnings right in the airplane flight manual, something stating unequivocally that a standard type rating is not sufficient qualification for conducting these specific post-maintenance stall checks that specialized training is required.
Makes sense. Clear warnings, better training, specific endorsements. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for everyone listening?
I think it's about understanding the difference between compliance and true safety, between being legally rated and being genuinely qualified for the mission.
Right. Just having the license isn't enough if the task demands a whole different level of skill and preparation. So maybe the highest mark of a true professional pilot isn't just the certificates they hold. Maybe it's their judgment, their willingness when faced with one of these high-risk maintenance flights to pause and say, you know what? This isn't standard line flying. This is test pilot territory. We need to bring in a specialist.
That single decision, that professional deference, that's the safety barrier the current system seems to be fatally missing.
A sobering thought. Deferring the mission might just be the thing that saves lives.